Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the letter known as 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, beginning with verse 23. And we hear these words as in this week when we begin preparing for our Lord's return and specifically focus on that. St. Paul writes by inspiration, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. The first time that I took communion after being confirmed, I was 13 years old. And I had a particular sin that had been weighing on my conscience since third grade that nobody else in my life knew about. But it was bothering me and troubling me. There were even a few times during those years when I had not been able to get to sleep because of this particular sin, this lie that I had perpetuated, and nobody else knew about it. Now, I had been to church hundreds of times. I had gone to Sunday school. I had heard Bible passages and family devotions, and constantly for thousands and thousands of times had heard that my sins were forgiven because of what Jesus had done on the cross. And yet, going to take the Lord's Supper for that first time, when I went up to the communion rail, for that first time in my life, was still rather special and unique. It was God's forgiveness reaching me and being put on my tongue in a very different way. A very particular and personal way. St. Paul tells us that the Holy Spirit uses this sacred meal to keep us ready for the day that our Lord Jesus returns to take us to glory. The Holy Christian Church is a forward-looking church. Much of what we study and preach about and the lessons we have in Scripture are, of course, based on the historical things behind us in time, but really, the Holy Christian Church is a constantly forward-looking church. And Paul says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So every time we take this feast, we are looking ahead toward the coming of our Lord Jesus. A gentleman by the name of Paul Kretzmann says this, "Every celebration of the Eucharist," that's communion, "is an open proclamation," he says, "a publishing of the death of the Lord, of the fact that by the giving of his body and by the shedding of his blood, he has worked out our redemption." And what a wonderful thing this is that our Lord Jesus has established for his church. And think of it, when did he do it? The night he was betrayed. The very night that hours before he knowingly was going to go onto the cross and suffer the agony of all of our sin and all of the physical torture that would go onto his body, and the death that was coming, knowing all of that's in front of him, what's on his mind and heart? Setting up a meal for his believers, for his faithful. He's thinking about you. He's thinking about the conscience of a 13-year-old kid who's struggling with his guilt. He's thinking about the college student who has something in his or her past that maybe nobody else knows about, that makes them afraid whether or not they're ever going to be let into heaven. He's thinking about the young person out there, the young adult who is hiding a secret about themselves that feels it would destroy their entire reputation with their family and friends if it was ever discovered. But they wrestle with that. These are the types of individuals that our Lord Jesus has on his mind and heart the night he's going to the cross. You, the members of his church. So consider what an amazing thing the Lord's Supper is. Jesus could have had us just eat, as gross as this sounds, human flesh, actual human flesh, and drink human blood. But he chose in a different way to take his actual very body and blood, the true, real body and blood of the Lord Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, and by the miracle of his word, to put it into just common bread and common wine, so that it still tastes wonderful to us. He could have picked other elements. He could have picked vinegar to drink. He could have picked a fish that you don't like to taste. But he didn't want his grace to leave a bad taste in your mouth. Because God's grace is wonderful. It is good. It is a beautiful thing. It's something that should leave a good taste in our mouth, knowing how tremendous his grace and forgiveness is toward us. And so he's come up with a way to take the very thing that bought your entrance into heaven, that paid for every sin that's on your conscience right now, that maybe makes you wonder if you're ever going to go to heaven. He's taken the very thing that paid for that, his body and blood, and he puts it by his word through the mouth of the pastor into the bread and wine for you to come and eat and drink it to know that your sins are forgiven. It's an amazing, amazing meal. You know, there are times when maybe a child who is now an adult child kind of wanders away from home and doesn't want to be around the parents anymore and almost disowns them and heads off into maybe a bad life or whatever and then is repentant and comes back home. And the parents are so excited and they tell them, "We love you and we're glad you're back." But they also want to throw a big meal and a big feast. They don't have to do it. They're not under obligation. But it just comes out of them because they love their child. That's how God is with us. He didn't have to come up with the Lord's Supper for us, but he did it because of his love for us. He wanted you to have one more way to know, in a very personal way, that your particular sins are forgiven. So how does this supper prepare us for the day of our Lord's return? Well, taking it the way God requires in Scripture, he calls upon us to examine ourselves, to take a spiritual checkup of our hearts, our souls, what's going on in our lives, our consciences. Are we really living in line with his word in all things or not? And before we come and receive this wonderful treasure in the Lord's Supper, he wants us to come with truly penitent hearts that recognize that we need to turn away from the things that God forbids. And so just in the same way that the Old Testament believers were ready on that night of Passover for the Lord's arrival, likewise, God keeps us ready, his faithful in this world today. He keeps us ready as well by preparing to eat this supper. And it keeps us always relying on the grace of God in Christ. It keeps us always focused on what happened on the cross. It brings us right to the cross, the body and blood of our Lord, given and shed for the remission of our sins. Now, if this meal truly is what Jesus says it is in his word, and it is, if it truly is what he says it is, just think how much the devil must hate it. Just think how much the demons can't stand it. Just think how much hell is upset every time you go to the altar and kneel to receive the body and blood of your Savior to strengthen you in your faith to stay ready for the day of his return. I bet the demons of hell vomit every time they see you go to the Lord's Supper because they know that's one more way of keeping you out of their grasp. What a beautiful treasure we have in this feast. Dr. Robert Kolb says this: "The Lord's Supper is a dress rehearsal for the eschatological banquet which will last forever at Christ's heavenly throne. A day is coming when you and I will no longer need the forgiving aspect of this feast because we'll be in heaven and there will be no more sin or tears or sorrow. But rather we will be eating the new greater feast. That's why Jesus says to his disciples, 'I will eat it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" I'd like to close with a little story. few years back, a friend of mine who's a pastor was serving in Ukraine, and he went to visit a woman who was a shut-in, an elderly woman. And after he finished communing her, he had a little plastic cup that he had used for communion. And after the meal was done, he was going to take it and throw it in the garbage, that plastic cup. And she said, "Could I have that?" And he said, "I guess so." And he brought it to her, and she took some Kleenex and cleaned it out. And she said, "I like to keep these." And she pulled back the curtain on her window, and there were about 20 little cups lined up on the windowsill. And she said, "Every time I look out the window, I like to be reminded of God's grace and forgiveness." As the Holy Christian Church waits and looks for the coming of our Lord, may this feast keep us always properly prepared and constantly comforted by His grace. Amen. Please rise for a prayer on this Veterans Day. And we pray for our nation. Dear Heavenly Father, look upon our nation and behold our many needs. Do not, because of our many sins, turn away from us. Rather, be merciful and grant your aid in all matters that distress us. We pray that you would grant health, safety, honesty, wisdom, fairness, and devotion to duty to all of those you have placed in authority. Give the ability and will to rule well to the President and Congress, to the cabinet members, to the governors and legislators of the various states, to judges, magistrates, and law enforcement personnel. Give courage to our courts to punish evildoers and protect the innocent. And we pray that you would also give all of us hearts of gratitude for the wonderful blessings that we enjoy in this great land. We pray also today for many who serve in the armed forces. Keep them ever in your love and protection. Give whatever help is needed for them to carry out their appointed duties. Be with them in the lonely hours and keep them from sin. Spare them from service on the difficult fields of battle and protect them in the discharge of their many assignments. And bring them safely again home to their homes and family. We ask all of this according to your gracious will. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.